Good morning. Thank you for being here on a Saturday morning. Is this good? It's not too okay. It sounds real interesting coming this way, but I appreciate you guys being here. First of all, just like everybody, I mean, we're always very grateful whenever we get invited anywhere, and I just want to thank Pastor Webb and his family. And actually, I had a really good time with your son Henry. You know, if you ever get a chance to meet him, he's a good guy. And thank you, Brother Brett, for putting, you know, all this together. I told Brother Brett earlier this morning, you know, I used to be in like the investment banking and insurance, and we used to run 3-day seminars, and I was in charge of putting those things together. It's a little bit different, but that goes in a lot of work. So, you know, I understand, you know, I've been there where you're at, and I know how it feels to do that. So what I found is just keep your head down and just keep doing it. There's going to be a lot of challenges. But thank you guys for all of that. But let's focus there on 1 Timothy 4:9. And the title of the sermon this morning is The Common Denominator. Common Denominator. And we're there in the, where I get the scripture from is there in 1 Timothy 4:9. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And then the verse I really want you guys to focus on is right there with verse 13. It says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And, you know, obviously this is building upon what this is. This is the fundamental conference, right? And, you know, actually when I got your Facebook message that said the theme was, you know, how to level up your Christian life, I had a very similar thought to Pastor Thompson. I'm actually glad I didn't go in that direction. The very first thing I thought about was the game Contra and Super Contra. You know, Brother Jolly and I were talking about up, down, left, right. Is it B-A-B-A? You know, and so that, you know, I like to cheat in the games because you'd get 99 lives and you'd never die, and then that way you could beat the entire game. But that's a whole other thing. And, you know, I just thought about that, you know, how you would level up with cheat codes or things like that. But in the Christian life, the way we level up is with the Word of God. You know, that's really what we're focused on. And so I'm glad I didn't go in that direction. And then the second direction I was going to take it in is I was going to do a play on words and how the Christian life can be fun and we can find joy in it. You know, and I was going to take a whole thing and build upon the word fun as part of fundamentals. But the more I kept thinking about it, and I thought about, you know, what are the fundamentals of the Christian life? How do you level up in your Christian life? I kept thinking about how, you know, the world teaches you a lot of different things about how to be successful in life. You know, and you've heard that now in the last couple of days. And, what they try to do is they try to find the common denominator. And I'm not going to go into the math part. Math has never been my strong suit. Truly, it's never been my strong suit. I'm not just saying that, you know, as like a self-deprecating. I like math, but it doesn't like me. But if you look there, you're there in a, go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 4. I'm going to get ahead of you guys a little bit, but just so you can catch up with me. But as a way of introduction, you know, the very first thing I want to just kind of remind you, in case you didn't know, the common denominator is, you know, in mathematics, is the number that is a multiple of all the denominators of a set of fractions. And by the way, I don't like doing fractions either. But the second definition is it's a trait or characteristic, belief, or the like common to a share that is shared by all members of a group. And so what do we look for is the common denominators on how to level up your Christian life. You know, and I look at all these guys that have come to preach before us, you know, Pastor Thompson, Deacon Oliver Gonzalez, Pastor Roger Jimenez, and you find the common denominators. And even in speaking with Pastor Webb, yeah, I've never met him. You know, we met just within the last 24 hours, yet there's common things that we have. It has nothing to do with, you know, our station in life. It has nothing to do with what race we were born into. It has to do with the fact that we're both saved by grace. Amen. And then we can build upon that foundation. As a matter of fact, there's things that we've talked about that we didn't even know we had to actually, I didn't have to ask him permission. Hey, can we talk about this? Those were common things because we're basing it on God's word. Amen. And so the common denominator that you find in these great men of God or these great churches. And when I mean great men of God, I'm not just talking about the pastors that get behind a pulpit. I'm talking about those that do the work, that are out there in the ministry, willing to sacrifice their time for the cause of Christ. You know, the common denominator is God's Word. And that's what we're going to focus on today, is God's Word. But, you know, and I guess you could say this would be more like a maintenance sermon. I'm not going to give you anything, you know, I'm not coming here with no new doctrine or anything like that. By the way, there's no new thing under the sun, but I am going to give you some fundamentals that you can apply to your life. You know, in the world, there's two guys that stand out to me as a young man, and it's a negative, so please don't, if you've read the books, well then, you know, I'm sorry, I've read them too. If you've not read the books, don't read them. You know, you're not going to, there's nothing that you're going to find out. But there was a man by the name of Napoleon Hill. I don't know, have you ever heard of Napoleon Hill? And he wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich. You know, and when you're in business, these are the books that are handed to you. Like, your mentors in business tell you, hey, these are the things that you need to read. This book was written a long time ago. And the book, the reason that I thought about it was, you know, Napoleon Hill was a young man, and he met Andrew Carnegie. And if you don't know who Andrew Carnegie was, he was probably the first billionaire that the U.S. ever had. And Andrew Carnegie asked him to spend time finding basically the common denominator of what made people rich, what made them successful, what made them, you know, grow big businesses. And so for 20 years, think about this, this individual spent time studying the common denominators of 500 successful individuals, and he wanted to find the common traits. And then he wrote this book, Think and Grow Rich, which has sold, you know, millions of copies and things like that. And I've read the book before. I probably don't remember half of it. You know, I read this a long time ago. That's telling my age, you know. And then there was another individual by the name of Vincent Norman Peale, and he wrote The Power of Positive Thinking. Has anybody ever read that book? Please don't read it. But Vincent Norman Peale was a preacher, and he was trying to, tell you these common traits that you could apply from the Christian life so that you could be successful in the world. You know, he was basically, I guess you could say, the foundation of, like, you know, your prosperity gospel, right? As a matter of fact, if you've ever seen any clips of Donald Trump, he said that was his pastor. You know, that'd just tell you something about, you know, maybe you need to run the other direction. But the reason I point these things out is this is what the world does. I mean, they have the same attitude. They want to find the common denominator, the common traits that make people successful or that help them grow in life. The challenge is when you're in the self-help realm, or when you're in the business realm to just be successful for that stuff, you're going to run into the pitfalls that, you know, there's weaknesses in your life, and it's hard to overcome these things. And then guess what? In the Christian life, it's the same way. When you're living the Christian life, you know, you have really good days. I mean, I was telling Pastor Webb earlier, you know, this week, that one of my favorite characters is Elijah, because sometimes you have like these great highs, you know, these roller coasters in life, you know, these great, you might preach a sermon or you might go out soul winning, and, you know, every door you knock is either receptive or you lead them to Christ. And then literally within a couple of seconds or minutes or hours, you just have like this horrible news or this just tragic thing that's happened in your life, and you just have this big down. So what's the difference? The difference is that we can lean on the Word of God. The difference is that we can focus on God's Word to find a way to overcome. And you've already seen a lot of these verses. You know, I mean, I hope you were paying attention to the sermons. You know, for me, preaching is kind of a bonus. I've gone to a lot of these conferences. I've met some of you at some of these conferences. That's how Brother Jolly and I became friends at these conferences. But the reason that you come to these things is to get edified. You know, I actually enjoy being in the pews probably more than I enjoy the preaching, just because you get edified, you learn some things. You know, these sermons that we got preached by these great men of God, they were exciting. You know, Pastor Thompson, for me, what stood out was that, you know, I have to really work on resisting my besetting sin. For me, that's a big thing. You know, and I know he had other points, but that's the one that I really took out. I don't know what you took out of it. I hope you wrote some notes, or at least, you know, maybe you can go back and review them, because I don't know if you've noticed the theme, but it's not just showing up, but it's actually doing the work of the Lord, right? And, you know, Deacon Gonzalez, the one that really stood out to me was planted in fellowship. Because, you know, as you get older, your friends get small, like your group of friends get smaller. And so when you don't have that many friends, it's really good to have a good a group of church members that you can fellowship with. They might not be your best friend, but there's something sweet about going to church and just being able to talk about the same things and edifying each other. You know, I've really enjoyed just sitting around talking to you guys, having some good meals. I mean, I think I've eaten more, Cincinnati chili than I probably will ever want to eat in my life. But it's been good, but it was a lot of Cincinnati chili. And then, you know, Pastor Jimenez, the one thing that really stood out to me as I get older is I want to exercise my conscience. You know, I really, of all the things that you want to exercise, for me as I get older, I'm not so concerned about, you know, some of the other exercises as much as my conscience. You know, because your mind takes you places you don't want to go. Unfortunately, you know, I got saved at the age of 25. So I've got 25 years of bad habits that I'm still trying to deal with now at 41. And, you know, I don't know if it's happened to you, anybody who's ever lived worldly. You know, one of the things that I hate personally is when I'm driving down the road and it's real quiet and then one of the songs that I learned in my youth pops into my head. And now I'm like trying to really sing hymns to just get that junk out of my mind. I want to exercise my conscience. I don't want that junk in my head, you know, just perverting and defiling. Then you're not able to renew your mind daily. So the first thing I'm going to do is I have 6 points, but they're broken down. The very first thing is I'm going to give you the 3 common denominators in the Word of God that you want to focus on. And then I'm just going to give you some application. Like I said, this is not anything fancy. This is very maintenance. But I think these things will help you out. And the first common denominator that I want you to just focus on is it's the Word of God. That is the common denominator. And I'm not talking, you know, the Bible like people. I'm talking about the King James for the English-speaking people. But then we also have to have a balanced view of the King James. Because I know, and if you've been around long enough, if you followed anything in the new IFB movement, or even just in the old IFB, or just in general, there's people can take these things to extreme. You know, I mean, there's people that believe that the King James is the Word of God, like the originally inspired scriptures of God, that everything should be translated from the King James. Well, that's not the view we need to have. There's also people that just, you know, they think, oh, well, I like the King James, but I also like to compare it with other scriptures. No, the view that we have is that for the English-speaking people, it's the Word of God. It's the preserved Word of God. I don't need to go back to the Greek or the Hebrew. As a matter of fact, I don't speak Greek or Hebrew, so I don't need to go back to that to get edified from the Word of God. If I spoke Greek, I'd read it in Greek. If I spoke Hebrew, you know, then I'd read it in Hebrew. Now, I do speak Spanish, and this is the point I want to make, is for me, the foundation is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. So in Spanish, we have a version. You know, it's not like the King James. You know, we can actually go back and look at other versions that have very similar strength. But I use the Reina Valera Gomez 2010. You know, but what I'm talking about is we have to find that common denominator. We stick to the Word of God, the original inspired Word of God that's now been preserved. And, you know, I mean, this is not a King James, and this is not a historical view. If you want to talk about it later, we can. But there is a preserved Word of God. There's also an attack on the Word of God, and you need to learn that, and you need to be able to discern that. That's why I think these sermons that were preached were great, because you need to be able to discern the good and the evil. You know, I mean, I love doing that exercise with people when they're like, oh, well, I like the NIV, and I like taking them to, you know, Acts, and I'm like, hey, where's that verse on the baptism? And they're like, well, I can't, what's going on? They skip the verse. And I'm like, that's right, because they remove the deity and the salvation of Christ. Right. I mean, those are the attacks, right? And so the very first thing you want to look at is the common denominator is the Word of God. It's not the King James, it's the Word of God. But for the English-speaking people, it is the King James Version. Amen. You know, if you realize, by the way, if you know anything about that history, the King James Version is called the King James Version because he's the one that ordained that the Word of God be preserved in English. It's not like we have versions. People just like to add that. It's really the King James Bible. But, you know, ultimately, it's just the Bible. It's just the Word of God. You know, don't let those terms confuse you. You know, we lean on God's Word. I'm not like, I don't think King, I mean, I don't know anything about King James other than he paid a lot of money so that people would preserve the Word of God. Thank God that he did that. You know, and I know a little bit of history about it, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. The other thing is, if you look at a lot of the churches, especially in the Baptist movement, they're the ones that really lean on the Word of God. You know, this church is called Good News Baptist Church. Why do we call it good news? Because what does the gospel mean? It means good news. You know, it's based on the Word of God. Now, if you go to a church, the church I serve at is called Springcrest Baptist. You know, a lot of churches were also named for the region, right? But the common theme that you see is that they try to lean on the Word of God. You know, I mean, Pastor Jimenez came. What's the name of this church? Verity Baptist Church. You know, means truth, right? Or Pastor Thompson was here, Sure Foundation Baptist Church. I mean, there's a reason why they're naming them like that, because they're focused on the Word of God. You don't have to turn there, like I said, you're over in Hebrews. But in Matthew 24, 35, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We need to really believe that. And I don't want to get ahead of my points, but, you know, this is truth to us. We believe this to be actual truth. It's not like these other books that I mentioned where these guys found these common denominators, but they could be right or wrong. This is truth. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know that word furnished, if you look it up in dictionary.com, they say it's furniture. But the old English means, you know, that it's fitted with the necessities, with what is necessary. In other words, you're complete because you're fitted with what is necessary to complete the job. You know, if you're going to level up your Christian life, you've got to look at where you're unbalanced and you need to focus on fixing that. And I'm not talking about your weaknesses, because I've heard, you know, in business you hear people say, well, don't focus on your weaknesses, focus on your strengths. And then other people say, well, you need to work on your weaknesses. What I'm talking about is when you're looking at your spiritual, you know, all the points that the pastor's made in the past, the point that Pastor Webb's going to make today, I'm really trying not to even touch, you know, the title of your sermon, because you gave it to me. I don't want to do that. But the points that you're going to hear today, even the ones that I'm going to give you, you know, if you're lacking in one area, this is where you need to level up. You know, is it your prayer life? Is it, you know, your soul winning? But you know what it all comes back to? The Word of God. How do you fix your prayer life? Hey, go look up how to pray properly. What do I need to pray? Don't ask for a Lamborghini. Some people teach you to pray like that. The Bible says that you ask, right? And you ask in faith according to what? His will.
Right.
Not my will, because I'm going to tell you, I do like, you know, that's my favorite car is a Ferrari. You know, in the flesh, if I could, you know, if I was going to do it, I'd get a Ferrari. But the reality is the Bible says it's all going to burn up. It's all hay and stubble.
Right.
How do you overcome the flesh? You get in the Spirit, you get in the Word of God.
Amen.
All right, Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, it's interesting, my mom, that's the verse that she's always like bugging me about all my life. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you know, what's one of the verses we use that we believe with our heart, right? And we confess them, and then that's how we get saved. Well, what does the Bible also say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What are you feeding your heart? The Bible also says that the heart is wicked and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we've got to guard our heart. How do you do that? With the Word of God. Proverbs 30, and you're there. You're still there in Hebrews 4, and then we're going to be in Exodus 24. I'm just going to, you know, help you out so you can. But in Proverbs 30, verse 5, the Bible says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Hey, we want to follow men of God. We want to follow preachers. We want to follow soul winners that are preaching the truth. You know what's the thing that I hate the most? We hate all sin, but I actually hate lying. That's one of the things that I really just, I mean, I can't stand. You know why? Because it's deceitful. It leads you down the wrong road. I've told this many times in my preaching. You know, I was 25 when I got saved. Thank God for His grace.
Amen.
For 25 years, I was on the road to hell. You know why I was on the road to hell? It's not because I wasn't going to church. I grew up in church. I grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist church, though, where they preached lies to me all my life. And you know what you, who here, when you find out someone's been lying to you for a long time, how do you feel about that? I hate the Seventh-day Adventist cult. I mean, I hate it with a strong passion. People say, you shouldn't talk about false religions. Well, I'm going to tell you about this false religion. Because I was on a road to hell, and many of you, that's how you feel. Right? I mean, you grew up and you've been lied to all your life. And the worst part is some of you might have actually grown up in a Bible-believing church that was telling you that it's all of works. Right? It's about how good you are, or, you know, how much you tithe, or, you know, how many sins you repent from. I think that's the funniest one of all, repenting of your sins, because, you know, nobody knows all the sins that you commit. You know, for all I mean, nobody's perfect, for all I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know I'm probably going to sin today. I hope I haven't sinned up to now, but at some point, even if I don't want to, you're going to do it. It's not something I'm proud of. I mean, I'm not telling you up here like, oh, I'm going to sin today. But I know I'm going to sin today. It's just part of life. But you know how you avoid the sin? You get into the Word of God. Right there in, you're there in Hebrews, but, you know, I'm building this up, right? In John 1, and these are verses you know, but in John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. We know these verses, but do you believe these verses? You know why the Word of God is so important? Because the Bible tells us that it represents, it is Jesus. He is the Word. And if we say that we believe in Jesus and that we want Him to guide our life and we want Him to, you know, we want to follow Him, well, then we need to follow Him in Scripture. Amen. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, that's where you're at. We know these these verses, but we love them. It says, for the Word of God is quick. What does that quick word quick mean? It means it's made alive. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know where our blood is made? In our marrow. I mean, if you look at the Word of God, you see His majesty, the way He just weaved life into us. You know, when the Bible says that even nature shows us that, you know, God exists, think about your life right now. How many of you can control your breathing? And what I mean by control your breathing, like, can you stop it and just not breathe for like an hour? Tell me what happens. Well, come back to me in an hour. How many of you can control your heartbeat? Or your blood pumping? Or the fact that your body is doing what is necessary to do to keep you healthy? You know, I know people tell you to go get vaccinated for the corona vaccine. You know what? God's already put all that in you. But it's right here, but it's through the Word of God. And the Bible, you know, one of my favorite verses is, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. What's one of the things that doesn't age? Your mind. Now, it ages if you don't focus, if you don't train it, if you don't work it out. But what doesn't age, but you know what's even better? What's one of the things that levels up your Christian life in your mind is when you read the Word of God. I'm serious about that, you know. So the very first thing is obviously it's the Word of God. The second common denominator, though, is now when I first got saved, I believed the King James. You know, I grew up around the King James, even in a false religion. The King James has been dominant for a long time. It's not until recent years that it's even gotten worse, right? It's still the most popular version, still the most sold book in history. There's something to be said about the preserved Word of God in English. You know, God has it, had it ordained that from the beginning of time. But, you know, the King James dominates. It dominates for many reasons. Obviously, the number one being that it's Jesus. It represents Jesus Christ. It is God, right? But the second common denominator is you actually have to read the Word. I'm not, you know, so much as I want you to study the Word of God. But you know how you can study better? Just read it. You know, go to Exodus 24. You're there in Exodus 24. I told you, and then we're going to be in Deuteronomy. But in Exodus 24, verse 1, it starts out and it says, and he said unto Moses, this is God, come up unto the Lord, thou, and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered in one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. Now the reason that they really, you know, came to that conclusion is because they were seeing God's majesty. If you remember, they were afraid to even get close to the mountain. They were so afraid of God, they were like, you know what, just send us your messenger, Moses. You know, that's the kind of attitude we need to have towards the Word of God. You know, everybody's running around in all kinds of fear. You know, the only thing I really fear is not obeying God. We're going to keep reading there, and it says, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Excuse me. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. See, my goal today is not just to tell you this sermon about the Word of God, but that you would leave here and say, we will do and be obedient. Hasn't that been the theme, actually, for the last 2 days? It's not just that you show up and that you hear the preaching, but what, that you do it. You want to level up your life, execute what the Word of God has asked you to do. What does the Bible say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. What do we want to teach our children? You know, obedience. Right? I mean, I think about Saul all the time, and I think, man, that guy just, you know, he represents the road of good intentions, right? It's paved. I mean, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? Now, he didn't go to hell, but it does feel that way sometimes. Like, you've got all these good intentions. You've got all these good intentions, but you're not willing to obey God. Don't we all have that attitude sometimes? Like, we know a little bit better? You know, especially you young guys out there, you probably listen to a sermon like this, and you're like, yeah, but I don't know if I necessarily agree. I'm going to do it like my way. And what you realize is your way is not God's way. You know, one of the things that's most frustrating is, and I was guilty of this. I've been in sales all my life, and the very first thing they do in sales is they script you. They give you a script. Here, read this. And scripts, I mean, I don't know if you've ever read a script. They read corny. Like, hello, is Mr. John there? Oh, hello, Mr. John. You know, my name's Enrique. You don't know me, but you know Billy. And Billy asked me to give you a call, and he said that, you know, you'd be interested in it. And then he's like, oh, I don't have time for this. And so then the next thing says, oh, this is a rebuttal. This is how you overcome that objection. Oh, Mr. John, you know, it's like giving you a haircut over the phone. It'd take twice as long and never come out right. You're like, I'm not going to read this junk. You know, what's proven is the guys that sell the best follow the script. You know what's proven? The best Christians are the ones that follow the script. Amen. You've got a script. You know, like in 5 years, you could memorize the entire New Testament. There's reading plans out there, memorization plans. Most of you know all the songs from your youth, but you can't memorize one verse. You know, you can't read the Word of God. You know how you memorize stuff too? Repetition. Just read the Word of God and those verses will stick to you. Right. You don't even have to work that hard at it. I mean, how many of you have your soul winning presentation memorized? Yeah. It's not because you sat and did it. You know where you memorized it? Out in the field.
Right.
Right? If you were to die today, you're 100% sure you'd be going to heaven. Isn't that what we say?
Yeah.
God forbid. You all have your little script. You all deliver it the way you want to. You're executing. That's what you need to do, but you first need to start reading. Because you know what's that other saying we hear? Out of sight, out of mind. Don't be like those Christians that have to take their Bible out and dust it off. Read the Word of God. Go to Deuteronomy 17. You know, one of the other things I love is, as Christians, as Bible-believing Baptists, fundamentalists, we love the Old Testament just as much as the New Testament. Because, you know, these new evangelicals, these contemporary, I mean, they just love the New Testament. And then they forget there was a whole other Testament. You know, the reason God gave us the Old Testament is so that we could love the New Testament. because it is the better testament, right? But it leads up to it. And what you see is Jesus all over the Old Testament, just as much as in the New Testament. You really do. I mean, it's a great book, but it's satisfying to the soul. But you're there in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 14. It says, "When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set a king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." So God's given them a strength. God already knew that they were going to need a king. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because the people forgot, but God did it. You know, in Deuteronomy, he gave them instructions. And skip down to verse 18, and it says, but here's the instructions to the king. And what does the Bible say about those that are saved? That we're saints, and we're judges, and we're kings. We're of the priesthood, right? We're of the royalty. And I don't want you to go around thinking, oh, I'm royalty, you know, kiss my... No, we're here to minister, but we are royalty. We are spiritual royalty. And so we have a duty to God to obey what he's asked us to do. If we're going to rule like God wants us to rule, well, then he tells us exactly here. He says, verse 18, it says, "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is said before the priests, the priests, the Levites." And then verse 19 says, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life." Not some, all. And I know, I mean, I hope that your toes have been stepped on a little. And I hope that I'm stepping on your toes a little, but that's a tall order. All the days of your life. Not some, all. So if you've not read the Bible all the days of your life, you can start now. All the days of your life. You know, I mean, there's in business, you know, I've been in business for so long that it's the exact, you know, you preach what you know. There's guys that have done things like figure it out how long, you know, the average age people live to 70. And then they'll take, you know, all the weeks that they have left from that time till then. And then they take all these rocks and they'll put these pebbles, and every week they take out a pebble so they can just see their life diminishing. So they know how much time they need to, you know, to build stuff up. And I actually, at one point, I thought maybe of doing that, right? Because, you know, I wanted to be successful. I want to see how much time you have. People will dedicate. They just eat, sleep, and breathe the things that they're committed to. But you won't read the Word of God all the days of your life. You know, I love that shirt that's going around. I have it. As a matter of fact, it's not that great of a shirt, but, you know, it got a little tear, and I even fixed it because it says, "Eat, preach, repeat." Eat, preach, repeat. Like, it should be your nourishment. Let's keep reading. It says that he may learn, right there in verse 19, that he may learn to fear the Lord, his God, to keep all the words of this law and the statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Hey, you want to get rid of some of that pride? Here's your solution. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. You know, the Bible, one of the promises, you see that a lot, is a long life. But how do you get that long life? You don't turn away from his word and you stay on the straight and narrow. You know, we worry about the next generation. How do we train up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? It's the word of God. You know, I have a lot of ideas of how to raise children. I'm pretty sure you do too. But the only ones that count are the ones that are from the Word of God. That's really the truth. I can have a lot of opinions about a lot of things. You know, as a matter of fact, that's why probably Brother Jolly and I get along real well. We have a lot of opinions about a lot. If you ever talk to Brother Jolly, you know, you want to get an opinion, just talk to Brother Jolly. And I don't mean that negative. Like, you know, he reads a lot and discusses things. But the only ones that really count at the end of the day are the ones that are Word of God. And I'm not picking on him. I'm picking on me too. You know, I mean, I love reading about all the, you know, history, and I love reading about this, and I can give you my opinion on why things might happen. I might even give you an opinion of how I think the end of the times comes. But none of that matters. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the Word of God. Amen. We need to read it. Go to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. Verse By the way, Cincinnati's great, but I'm from the South. You know, I love my humidity. So excuse my coughing, but it's drying me out. Like, I'm really having a hard time up here. But there in Deuteronomy 31, verse 11, the Bible says, "When all Israel's come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that he may hear and that he may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over to Jordan to possess it." You're starting to notice a theme? You know, God's ordained this place for you guys that are here in Cincinnati so that you can bring your children and the strangers of this land to hear the word of God, not only being read, but preached to you. Go over to Psalm 119. I'll just read these other verses for you. But in Matthew 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered and they were with him?" That's the problem. Have ye not read? You get all these weird people and these doctrines. You know, I don't like spending a lot of time on Facebook, but I run our church Facebook page, so I have a Facebook. And over time, I've cleaned up that Facebook where my friends are mostly people that are like-minded. But every once in a while, you know, people that are like-minded aren't as like-minded as you thought. And you see some of the stuff that they're, like, preaching out there, and they get real overzealous for the Word of God. And you're like, where'd they get this? You know, how did you... Where? What verse are you reading? Like, you know, people say, oh, you know, have you ever gone soul winning and someone tells you what the Bible says? And you're like, where'd you get that? I had a Mormon kid show up at our house one time. And I said, hey, you're in a false religion. He's like, oh, why would you say that? I said, well, first of all, you guys think that Jesus and God, that Jesus and Satan are brothers. He's like, yeah, that's true. We do believe that. Well, proving my point. He's like, well, we get that for when Satan tempted Jesus, and Jesus called him brother. I was like, what book were you reading? Have ye not read? I mean, at no point was... I mean, does that make sense? But even within our Baptist brothers, sometimes you hear weird stuff like that, right? Maybe not that extreme, but... And you're like, have you not read this? And that's the problem, is you're not reading the Bible, right? So I'm just going to be really frank with you right now. You know, whatever you're struggling with in your life right now, a big part of that is because you're not reading God's Word. You're not spending time in God's Word. And not only that, you've not spent enough time to know where to go look for the answers. Sometimes, you know, I'm reading, right now I'm in the book of Isaiah, but I've read it enough to know where to go look for when I have challenges in my life. You know, I love the book of Psalms, because even though it's like up and down, whenever I'm feeling down, the book of Psalms is great. You know, his mercy endureth forever. We praise the Lord. You know, we seek the Lord early. We seek you and we meditate on your word. As a matter of fact, we're going to go there to the book of Psalms. But the final common denominator before I give you my 3 points, and this is that we have to believe what we're actually reading. I'm not talking about your salvation. You know, a lot of people didn't even truly understand everything that they were believing. It's over time that you learn that, right? As a matter of fact, I was telling Pastor Webb that when I first got saved, you know, being a Seventh-day Adventist, one of the things they do have right is their post-trip. Not exactly like us, but their post-trip. So I grew up post-trip all my life. But then one of the first things I did, and it was only for like 6 months, was when I first got saved, I got saved in an old IFB church, and they were pre-trib. And so you know what I did immediately? I took the pre-trib position. Because I was like, well, that if God says it, then that's what's got to be. Now, after reading my scripture again, I was like, oh, no, that's not true. You know what I also thought for a long time? I thought the Jews were God's chosen people. I thought so much so that I had told people, look, when the end times come, I'm going to move to Israel. I'm going to become a Jewish citizen, and I'm going to get on that army because, you know, God's going to take care of us. But then you read Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, that they're of the synagogue of Satan. And even though I didn't understand it all, it's just like, Just take it. And I changed my position. You know, you can change your position without understanding your position. Just talk to a child. You know, it's not that difficult to change their mind. That's why we need parents to protect their children, because children are susceptible, they're gullible. But you need to be a little bit gullible when it comes to the Word of God. If God says something, if you don't understand it, He said it, it's true. Period. There's been a lot of things that I read in the Bible that I just don't get. And I'm just like, but it's God's Word. As a matter of fact, people, my family hates talking to me. Because they're like, that's all you do. It's your scapegoat. It's your cop-out. It is. If it's God's Word, He knows more than I do. That's it. I don't care what you think.
Amen.
I had someone call me the other day, and they're like, so I'm not supposed to divorce my husband because, you know, blah, 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 this. You know, they want to get divorced because they're having marital problems. So the Bible doesn't, you know, and they're Christian. And I said, the Bible does not condone divorce.
Right.
Period. So you're saying that I get more blessing if I stay in this horrible marriage. Yeah. Now, I mean, unfortunately, sometimes you can't control that, right? But that's our human nature. But God's Word is God's Word. Period. You know, the one that everybody struggles with, I struggle with, is the Bible says, love your enemies. My enemies, not God's enemies, right? I still struggle with that to this day. You know, when you have to forgive and move on, and then just try not to think about that. Forgiving your enemies, that doesn't even make any sense. From a fleshly point of view, it does not make any sense. God said it. That's what it is. Period. End of story. You know, you're there. Where did I tell you to be? Psalm, you're not there. Let me just read for you 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 20 says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. You know, why is it important to believe and trust it in God? Because when you believe His Word, you get protection. You know, this verse really stands out to me in Matthew 18, verse 3. And you're there in Psalm 119. I'm getting there. But Matthew 18, verse 3 says, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, become as little children. You know why we want to have a childlike attitude? Because then our Father will protect us. Amen. Who wouldn't die for their child?
Right.
That's the one thing I know for sure. Don't come at my children.
Amen.
I mean, I'm going to be acting, I'll act meek and I'll hold my tongue. You come at my children, I'm willing to lose my ordination and not be a pastor to protect my children. I will fight tooth and nail to the death for my children. Well, guess who's going to fight tooth and nail for you? God. It says there, it says, and verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, if it were better, it would better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I love that verse. Because that's the attitude we need to have, not only towards our children, but our spiritual children. Why do we preach hard? Because we don't want you to be in danger. I don't want you to fall into the pitfalls of life. You know what? Life is tough. You heard Pastor Jimenez say it yesterday. Life is tough. And it's tough in the world, and it's tough as a Christian. So you might as well be a Christian, because at least that, you know, your Father's going to protect you.
Good.
Life, I mean, you've lived long enough. People have stabbed you in the back. You know, you've just been through health issues. You've had tragedy happen, some worse, some others. Life is tough. So just get over it. In the Word of God. Now here's the application. You're there in Psalm 119. And these are I got three little points and we're done. But the very first thing is, we've already touched on a little bit, is you want to internalize. You know, and it can be light at first. I mean, I remember when I first got saved, I knew kind of the area where I wanted to go to for references. But it was always the Word of God. And then over time, I've memorized some scripture. Then over time, I've learned, you know, there's certain chapters I really enjoy more than others, and I know them real well. This is a lifelong journey. This is a marathon, not a sprint. There in Psalm 119, verse 9, what does the Bible say? It says, Beth, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Well, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, who do we ultimately sin against? God. You know, I mean, we offend people, and in our flesh we get offended, but sin is towards God. It says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know, I really did want to do something about the fundamentals and, you know, how it's just fun being a Christian. And, you know, I was going to use examples like, you know, when Elijah mocks the prophets and he makes fun of them and then he basically slews them all. You know, if you think about it, like, that's a very dramatic story. I mean, he, like, not only does he mock them, but then afterwards he just takes them all out.
Yeah.
Right? Because we want to focus only on the Christian life, the goody parts, but I think that's fun too. But how do you get to that part? You first have to meditate on God's word. You have to find the joy in God's word. And you know where you find the joy? We were talking about this earlier. I enjoy the harder parts of the Bible more now than the parts that are like the more popular ones. You know, like, you know, when I am weak, he is strong. And don't get me, it's God's word. But I enjoy, you know, I like in Ecclesiastes it says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Because it's in the tough times that you learn to find joy in Christ. It's in the tough times that you really build that character. You know, you want to level up your Christian life, be willing to go through some tough times. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. People are like, oh, I want to live godly in Christ Jesus. Well, you're going to suffer persecution. Well, I don't like that part, so never mind. That's the attitude people take. How many times have you heard that? I mean, I've heard that all my life. Well, I don't know if I like that part of the Bible. I like all the Bible.
Man.
Everything. I mean, that's how you learn to hate things and how you learn to love things. The Bible says there's a time of war, there's a time of peace. There's a time to love, there's a time to hate. People say, oh, you shouldn't hate anything. Well, I hate anybody who attacks my children, let me tell you that. I mean, just giving you a great example. But go to Colossians 3:16. The Bible says there in verse 16, I'll give you a second to get there, Colossians 3, verse 16. Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's how you internalize. I mean, literally, God's telling you to internalize his word. It's your meat. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You want wisdom, it's through the word of God in you. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The one of the things I love is the old hymns. You know, stand up for Jesus. We're going marching as soldiers unto war. You know, all the hymns we sang today, they just get you pumped up and ready to go. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of who? The Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, we want to give thanks to God. A couple of weeks ago, just, you know, I got sick. I actually got, you know, the coronavirus. And I was in bed, laid up in pain and anguish and all that. You know what, and it's not a bragging thing. I don't think I would have done this maybe 15 years ago, but thank the Lord that I got sick. I really am thankful. God, if he's doing it, it's for a reason. So thank the Lord. What did Job do? I mean, Job got everything taken away from him, and immediately, and I'm not picking on you, Job, by the way, and immediately, because I was looking at, I was like, his ears perked up. He's like, what did I do? Not this Job, the Job in the Bible, but what did he do? But I would hope that if something happened to you, you would praise the Lord. That was the very first thing that he did. Hey, how many of you, you know, it's praising the Lord right now is great, but when hard things come in your life, is that really your first thought? It should be. Praise the Lord. I know, I mean, I don't have to. I mean, this is statistics. You're going through some hard times right now. Like, some of you might be coming out of it, like Pastor Jimenez said. But if you're going through it, praise the Lord. It is what it is. You know what I mean? Turn over to James 1, but Jeremiah, in chapter 15 of Jeremiah, he's going through this hard time. And the first few verses are you know, he's just kind of like complaining and just in anguish. But what does he say in verse 16? And that's why I'm not having you turn there. It's just verse 16 of Jeremiah. He says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, the world doesn't get that. It doesn't get how you can be so at peace and joyful through all these tough times. And that's why we need to preach the word of God. It doesn't make any sense to the world. You know, when you get in your flesh, sometimes it doesn't even make sense to you. But if you get in God's word, you're at peace. How many of you, like, just cower in fear because of coronavirus? Probably don't. You know why? We don't fear it because we know that whatever God's will is in our life, it's God's will in our life. We're not going to live our lives in fear. He gave us the spirit of power, of peace, and of love. You know, you're there in James, but real quick, the you want to internalize, but then the next thing you want to do is you want to realize. And what I mean by that is you become fully aware of something as a fact. You know, when you read the Bible the first few times, this is kind of like when you're a kid. You're living life, you know you're alive, but you're not really conscious of the world. You know, it's not like you don't see a five-year-old campaigning, you know, for the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. You don't, right? I mean, they're just living life. They're just. But then as you get older, you start to question things, and that's when you start to find out who you really are. Then you go through, you know, you've heard things like, oh, I'm not going to go to college because I'm finding myself and things like that. I'm not for that, but find yourself in the Word of God. You need to realize. But the only way to do that is you've got to read it. You've got to constantly meditate on it. Things will stand out. You know, one of the first things that stood out to me when I started reading my Bible and I committed to reading it all the way through, and this is not part of my sermon, but, you know, just turn there real quick. 1 Peter 4:12, and then come back to James. but in 1 Peter 4:12, this verse, I realized, I became aware. Right there in 1 Peter 4:12, this is probably my life verse when people say, it says there, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Every time I read that verse, all I can think of is when I was a young man, you know, when I was shorter than my dad, every time that I would, like, do something dumb, he'd come up behind me and slap me upside the head. Have you ever remember? And he's like, "What are you doing?" And every time I read that verse, it makes me think of, like, God doing that. You know, "Oh, something bad happened to me. I don't understand why so-and-so treated me such way. Well, I don't understand why this happened." Right? You don't understand because you have not read the Bible. The Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange, the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." But what's the next verse? "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Man, when I read those verses, I was like, I've been preached different all my life. That doesn't even add up to what preachers preach nowadays. Like, that really, I became aware that life is tough, but that God's going to give you joy. This is a long time ago. I mean, this verse, like, just revolutionized my life. But it wasn't until I read it. Nobody had ever preached it, because you know what preachers do? The majority of preachers, I'm not talking about preachers that preach the entire counsel of God, but the majority of preachers, they just pick and choose. So, you know, most of your, you know, somebody that preached on this sermon in the modern contemporary movements would be like, "Oh, turn your Bibles over to verse 13, verse 14. Right? Have you ever been to, you know, maybe some of these old IFB churches? I remember when I first got saved and I started reading my Bible, you know, you learn the stories and you get excited. And I remember, you know, the preacher get up there and he start preaching this like part of the scripture, and he's building it up, and you're like getting ready for the really good part, and you're like, "Here we go." And then he's like, he stops and he moves on to the next point. Like, I mean, I know it's a pastor, but in my mind I'm thinking, "Bro, you missed the best part of the whole sermon. Like, I wanted you to finish the whole thing. Why didn't you finish the story? Like, that's the best part." But you know why they do that? Because they don't want to offend anybody. Because they're afraid of man instead of God. I had you in James, right? So you need to realize, I mean, you need to internalize, and then you need to realize. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. But a man of understanding will what? Draw it out." You've got to draw it out. You young guys, you read this and you get real excited and you're like overzealous. Hey, how about you take a step back and draw it out? How about you learn? You want to level up your life? You want to be in the fundamentals? Hey, it takes decades. It's an entire process. It's in your entire life. It's not just, you know, you got saved today, you learned the soul winning program, you went through the soul winning seminar on YouTube, and you know, now you know everything. James 1, verse 2, you want to internalize, you want to realize, you become fully aware, you know, you understand clearly, you make it a fact. James 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 2, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Hey, you want to learn patience, you've got to have your faith tried. I learned to say this, maybe I'm not really that impatient, but, you know, business guys love to say that, oh, you know, I'm not very patient. The one thing that I lack and I'm weak in is patience. The Bible says you can learn it. It says, but let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I love that, wanting nothing. That means that you trust wholly on whatever Jesus puts in front of you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Remember Pastor Thompson was using the example of the dogs, you know? We're double-minded if we're not in the Spirit. That's the struggle, right? Oh, wretched man that I am, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. You've got to feed, you've got to realize, that's a reality. See, I don't pretend that all of a sudden because I've grown in Christ, I'm better. As a matter of fact, the reality is that when you grow in Christ, you start to see how wretched of a man you really are. Now, I'm not growing around like, oh, woe is me. Don't pity yourself. Know that God's grace can make you better. See, that's the problem with Christianity today. You got all these extremes. God's a balanced God. The reason that you want to learn to hate is because you'll love better. You know what's made me a better Christian? Soul winning.
Amen.
Because then you realize there is a lost world out there. You know, one thing is knowing there's a lost world. The other thing is realizing you see it. Man, that's a lost world. You know, who was I? I wasn't with... Well, we had some interesting... But I was yesterday. You know, we had this one guy, and Deacon Oliver took him through the gospel presentation, but he just wasn't getting it. He was lost. Thank God he planted the seed, but he just couldn't get there. It had nothing to do with the presentation. You know, Brother Deacon obviously knows how to give the gospel presentation. We run into those. But your heart goes out. Because you're like, man, you're right there, brother. You're right there. You get it. But you don't get it. But you know what? The job was done, though. We planted that seed. That's what we realized, right? Go over to Matthew. And keep your finger there in James. You're going to be in James 4. But go to Matthew 6. Go to Matthew 6. I'm almost done. I apologize if I went too long. But Matthew 6, it says, in verse 25, says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. See, we spend so much time planning our lives. And God says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? I'm 5'5" and a half. Let me tell you, there's no way I'm getting taller. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Hey, it's the word of God that increases your faith. Isn't that a common theme from Jesus' ministry? Oh, ye of little faith. I mean, and it's a common theme in our life. I'm not picking on you. It's just a reality. And I'm picking on myself too. Oh, ye of little faith. Yeah, I mean, I might be really strong in one area, but you know what? You know you lack faith in some other areas. It says there, therefore take no thought, saying what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal ye shall be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But what is it? I'm telling you, it's a maintenance sermon. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Hey, but you've got to realize that like people love quoting this verse, but is it real? Have you realized that this is an actual fact? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's the one common verse? I mean, most of you probably use it. What's the most overrated verse in the Bible? John 3:16. I mean, people quote it all over the place. That means that everybody should be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means anybody, believeth in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. And you know what we do? We quote that verse to people at the door, and they're like, oh, I never realized that. Oh, I've read that verse all my life and just didn't click. I thought I had to be good. And you ask them, right? Does it say believe and go to church? You know, you've done that. Or believe and just says believe. Believe. But you realize. And then the final thing that you want to apply to your life, go back to James. Like I said, we're going to be in James and we're done. Is you want to actualize. And like I said, you know, I didn't talk to any of these guys, but it seems like we all got on the same page. That's God's power. What does actualize mean? Is to make real, to turn into action. So you realize, you know, oh, well, this is, the Bible says life is tough, right? 1 Peter 4:12, or the Bible says seek ye first the kingdom of God. But then you want to actualize it. Hey, it's not if, but when. The longer I preach, I look forward to the tribulation, to the trials. Now, I know that when it happens, it's probably not going to be fun to go through it, but I know there will be a good lesson that comes out of it. It'll make me a stronger, better person, a better husband, a better father, a better pastor, a better preacher, a better soul winner, right? And so you want to actualize. You want to make actual real. You want to turn into, and you want to just get active. I mean, and I know you guys are going out soul winning, and that's great. But you know, there's a lot of little things in the fundamentals that you really need to work on. You know, the one thing that really stands out is as you get older and you read the Bible, mercy and grace is something that we need in our Christian walk. You know, I know a lot of people love coming to these sermons because you get all this hard preaching and we preach against the sodomites. But it's the mercy and the grace that you really need to work on. Because you think about God in our lives, I mean, there's nothing worthy in us why God would even notice us. It's the blood of Jesus that he takes notice, and then he does notice us. It's not that he doesn't, and I'm not, God does want you to succeed, and he'll bless you, and he'll notice that, but it's not because you're that good. It's because of the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Right? And then you come to realize, man, why would God even use me? Why would God use you? Because of his mercy and truth. Because of his grace. But yet we don't have any mercy or grace towards the people that we deal with on a regular basis. I'm not even talking about the soul winning. The soul winning, you're out there, you know, you're very compassionate. But you can't even be nice to like the church member who took your pew. Am I exaggerating? You can't be nice to the one church member who forgot to shake your hand. Hey, for all you know, he lost somebody in his life. Well, I don't know. I don't like that guy. Man, John just won't shut up about the book of Revelation. How about you just love him a little bit better? There's nobody named John here, I hope. Maybe I'll say Jose, you know, that way we can just make sure we cover it. But you're there in James 4, like I said, we're wrapping up. The Bible says, go to, verse 13, James 4, verse 13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But know ye, rejoice. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, To him, it is sin. Hey, if you don't have mercy and grace, it's a sin. You know, the Bible, you know, I love that book, the verse in Proverbs. If somebody comes to you and asks for something, you have to give to them. What does the Bible say? Don't tell them to come back later. Do it. That's mercy. That's grace. You know, when I think about sermons sometimes, I as a preacher in your ego, you want to preach that like sensational sermon. You really do. You know, you want to get up there and you want to wow the people and you want to, you know, get down there and people come and great. But the reality is that's not our duty. Our duty is to preach the whole counsel of God. You know, the way we get better as Christians in this fundamental is we've got to learn the tough stuff. See, mercy and grace and love and charity and purity, you know, we read all those. That's tough. Screaming at a sodomite across the street, that's easy. You know, your ego can do that real quick. You know, rebuking a Jehovah's Witness at your door, that's fun. I've done that many times. That's easy. You get out of here, you devil. I mean, seriously. I've told, get out of here, I'll call the cops. I've screamed out dumb. You know, that's easy. That's your ego. But loving the guy that maybe doesn't quite get it, and being patient with them, and loving them, and being graceful and merciful, that's tough.
Amen.
You know, sacrificing your time for others, that's tough. You know, Pastor Webb was telling me of some of the challenges that he deals with. I mean, he runs a church, so some of the challenges he deals with. And you listen to stories and you get riled up. You're like, man, if I would have taken that call or if I would have done that, man. But the reality is that's not the way to act. Because you don't know what's going on. You want to leave a good testimony, but you also want to help people grow in Christ. You know, go to James 1. I'm going to read for you Galatians. James 1, we're done. Galatians 6, verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth all, in all good things. But here's the thing. Be not deceived, the Bible says. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. See, we got to get in the Word because we're going to get tired. But the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially. Here's the part that I want you to focus on. Especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Hey, it's the family members, the people we love the most that we treat the worst. That's what the world tells you, right? But as Christians, it's our family members, our church, our brothers and sisters in Christ that we should love the most. You know what's the church that I love the most? My church. My church members. They've been through thick and thin with me. Nothing against you guys. You guys are great. But you should love your church. You get all caught up and, man, I wish I was in this church, or I wish they would do this, or I wish they would do that. No, just love, be merciful, be graceful. Live in truth. Nobody's perfect. Let me tell you that. Nobody's perfect. I mean, sometimes you do need to be reminded. I know you got saved and you realize that, but maybe along the way you forgot. Because, man, sometimes you hold, you know, your preachers and your pastors and your deacons to like this standard that only they could meet in your head. How about you love your pastor a little bit better and their family? Try running a church for a day. I mean, try working on it. For preachers, you know what's one of the things that I actually miss? You know, I loved going to church. You know, I'd go to church in the morning, get my lunch, get my nap, then go back to church in the evening, then go home, go to sleep. Now, I'm a pastor. It's like, it's a full day's work. I mean, I've got to fly. You know, I'm getting ready for tomorrow. I'm already thinking of, you know, the songs we got to sing. I got to get everything ready. Make sure that it's a lot of work.
Amen.
Sundays are exhausting for the pastor. Go to James 1. That's why I didn't have you go to James 1. We're closed. So you want to internalize. You want to realize. You want to actualize. And here's where it ends. James 1 verse 21 tells you, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That word superfluity is just like an excess of naughtiness. You know, Pastor Thompson alluded to that. Sin is pleasurable for a season. And what ends up happening with sin is you end up over, it's always in excess. Nobody is a social drinker. You know, I know people say that. Oh, I only drink socially. Yeah, you know, you don't. Or, I can control it. I only smoke certain times a day. No, you don't. You're just lying to yourself. But it says here, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. I love that word. That's why I chose this verse. It says, the engrafted word. You know, that word engrafted means to like insert. Have you ever in horticulture or in planting? I used to grow rose bushes, and one of the things I learned was how to make a hybrid. You know, where you have like a red rose and a yellow rose, and you engraft it. Basically, you can cut like a certain angle, and if you tape it up correctly and you just water it, now that tree can grow two different. It's engrafted. It becomes one. Kind of like your marriage, you know, you're one flesh. Right there, the Bible says, hey, the word should be, it should be like, you should like literally be walking around and be able to just be the word in the sense, and I'm not talking about Jesus, don't get me wrong, it's not weird like that, but that you should be able to just, Jesus should live so much in you, you can just, all you do is spew the word of God. Amen. People be like, kind of annoying, you know, have you ever gotten that? I don't know how dedicated you are to the word of God. People, that's all you ever want to talk about is the Bible. That's the only thing that matters. My brother doesn't call me. I mean, we're on good terms, but it's like very short phone calls. He doesn't, and the reason is because all I want to talk about is the Bible. I want to lead him to Christ. I don't want him to go to hell. My sister, she's saved, but she doesn't call me because she doesn't want to talk about the Bible. I don't have many friends anymore because all I want to do is talk about the Bible. But you know what we've done all this weekend? Talk about the Bible. Nobody's ever, and none of you have gotten on to me about it. But it says, I hope not, right? It says, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And remember in James, he's not talking about just your salvation, like your eternal salvation. It's here on this earth. Hey, even through trials and tribulations, God can save your soul. God can protect you. But it's got to be engrafted. But what is it? What's the next one? And this is kind of, I guess, maybe that should have been the theme is action. Because here's the verse. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Hey, stop lying to yourself. Have you ever met a compulsive liar? They believe the lies that they're spewing. We were talking about President Biden. I mean, I've never seen a guy who can deliver lies so well. I mean, you think the guy really believes what he's saying. I mean, it's gotten so bad. Like, he gets up there and he's spewing these lies and almost sounds like he really believes it. Have you not, I mean, am I exaggerating? I was watching this clip that popped up and they were interviewing Fauci with some young lady about reading tweets, and he's reading about the vaccinations. He believes the stuff he's saying. Like, the lady was like, oh, I got chills and I was feeling sick. You know, that's not a good thing. And he's like, oh, if you feel that, that's good. That means your body's doing what it's supposed to do. And he delivers it like truth. Now, I'm not here to tell you, I mean, your position on that can be, I don't care what your position is. I'm telling you what my position is based on the Bible. But don't deceive yourselves. Don't go around thinking that, you know, truth is truth, period. Like Pastor Thompson said, we believe in science because science is from God. The reality is if you put poison in your body's going to react to poison. I mean, that's just the fact. But let's finish here and I'm done. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man, unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. How many of you could draw yourself a self-portrait? I mean, it's truth, right? You look in the mirror and you're like, man, I'm starting to look old. I was looking at myself in the mirror because I shaved this morning. I was like, oh, age is catching up. It says, but whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. See, my goal today was to just edify you and tell you, hey, you want to level up your Christian life, you've got to find the common denominators. Don't look at the preachers, and the common denominator is not the dynamic preacher. The common denominator is not the guy who knows so much doctrine and he's deep and he memorized that. The common denominator is the Word of God. Look, if you never memorize a verse but you can read the Bible, then read the Bible every day, all the days of your life. And we've all been guilty. I'm not just picking on you, I'm picking on myself. I mean, let's just be honest. The Bible says, for all have sinned, right? So we're not perfect. There's not a just man on the earth. But that doesn't mean we can't refocus. You know, if you take anything from today, is refocus, reset. That I love that word renew, because what, you know what renew is? You have to repay. Like if you go to renew a membership, what do you have to do? Pay again so that you can be involved in it, right? The Bible's free. Bible just says, hey, renew this daily so that you can be involved in this again. You can get these benefits, these discounts, or whatever this is that it's giving you. So, anyways, I just wanted to let you know that was for me the big thing is, as I look at these great preachers, as I look at these people that have left legacies and that we look up to and we say, hey, man, we love Paul, arguably the greatest Christian of all. What's the common denominator? God's word. You've got to read it. You've got to believe it. You've got to internalize it. You've got to realize it. You've got to actualize it. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly